Well, it seems to me that the Church of Jesus Christ in America today is caught between two mutually exclusive, if you will, extremes. Now, for many, it's just a social club, lacks power, seems to be no purpose, a way to ease the conscience and satisfy some distant tradition. Others, they seek revival, but they lack the key ingredient that can not only revive the church, but change a culture and those in deep despair. Now, you stay right there, and I'm going to share more about it with you next, right here on your new breakthrough.
A divine mystery holds the secrets to blessing this holy season. Thousands have read the remarkable revelation uncovered by Rod Parsley's book, The Sukkot Mystery Revealed. Discover for yourself the beauty of God's design of the Sukkot and how it reveals His abiding love for you. Experience what it means to have God's presence in your home and the blessing of protection, provision, and peace it brings. We've reserved a special free copy of Rod Parsley's book just for you, but supplies are limited. It only takes minutes to read, but the truth inside is timeless. Please call or visit rodparsley.com and request your free copy of The Sukkot Mystery Revealed.
To go to church without the idea of being empowered to serve others is a worldview that is me-focused, consumer-dominant. It celebrates achievement. Welcome again to your new breakthrough. Now, over the next few minutes, I've got a very, very encouraging word that God, by His Spirit, has placed in my heart just for you. And if you can grasp it, I believe you'll not only be changed, but we have an opportunity for the church itself to become positioned to lead a mighty end-time revival. A revival in which entire communities, cultures can be transformed. Well, today, we're engaged in two wars. Worldviews are colliding with such magnitude and force that the theater of conflict divides our homes. We're divided in our workplaces. We're certainly divided among political parties. Church denominations are divided from one another. Nations themselves are divided. It's a battle of competing and mutually exclusive ways of viewing the universe itself, and more importantly, man's place in the universe. It's a clash of paradigms, of value systems. It's a clash of visions of the future. Now, the question can be condensed to its simplest form, distilled to its base in this: will we fight, or will we allow ourselves and the church to slink passively into irrelevance? When we do, we'll leave the lost and hurting without help in times of great trouble, great turmoil. Now, if we do, I assure you that in a very few short years, we will find ourselves godless and faithless and valueless and without a return, as you've heard me say many times, to the discarded values of the past, will be hopeless. The church's present state stems from a very fundamental misunderstanding about what it really means, after all, to be a Christian. I think we become midwives, if you will, to the birth of generation after generation of believers that are ill-equipped to engage the culture on any level, unprepared to minister the love of God because they're not captivated by it themselves, and therefore they're unwilling to stand up and fight for their king and his kingdom. In the Old Testament, one of my favorite prophets, Micah, faced the very same things we're facing personally and corporately today. But within the swirling winds of disobedience and discontent, Micah foretold of a day when it would all change. The pain, the suffering of the present moment would disappear and dissipate as quickly as the mist of dew in the morning, a time when the conflict, the chaos of war, and the clamoring hoofbeats would be silenced. A remarkable change in the very atmosphere when mankind would be forever delivered, drawn away from the pain, from the lack and loss. Well, evil's stranglehold on man is a dark, dark, cold plague that steals from those who hunger and are not fed. It's an abandonment of those who are cold and are not clothed. It's a denial of cool, refreshing water to those who are dry and thirsty in a parched land. Well, your Bible, it answers everything, doesn't it? Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it describes the battle as a sword without and a terror within. Almighty God opened the prophet Micah's spiritual eyes to see beyond the immediate circumstance to a day when a deliverer, not just any deliverer, but the very Son of Almighty God would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jesus Christ, the everlasting hope of glory. But today's church is weak. Many believers emaciated, just a shadow of what the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary's tree to enable us to become. The holy power within has been hampered, handcuffed by a poor, poor counterfeit shaped in the form of modern culture. Too self-sufficient and self-reliant to ever be used of God. Every worldly influence that bombards us, whether on television or social media or even on your smartphone, is a dastardly device of the devil designed to draw us away from the altar of God. Our assignment is to remain in the world, but never, ever, ever to become a part of it. The great and fiery preacher George Whitefield came to America with more than sermons in a satchel. He brought aid to the poor. He demonstrated that he didn't care only about humanity's soul in the sweet by and by, but a man's empty stomach in the gritty here and now. That's why he wrote, the great George Whitefield, "It is our care for the helpless. It is our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of our opponents." And it's time, past time in my book, for the church, for you, for me, for all of us together, to return to its non-negotiable foundations of why God put us here in the first place. That was, as you may know, to be his hands to reach the lost, the hurting, to help the hungry and the distraught, the downtrodden. They're all around us. America's cities are turning into what looks like third world countries, while the church gathers together for praise and worship. Bearing the brand of our Savior requires a clear revelation of selfless servanthood is the key to influence. Did you hear me? I'm going to try it again. Selfless servanthood is the key to influence. Here it is. If anyone desires, Jesus said, to be first, let him be last of all. God's commandment has been cast aside by a generation of believers that have replaced selflessness, watch, with selfishness. Selflessness with selfishness. Do they go to church to see how they can be empowered to do for others? Or do they simply go to church to be blessed? To go to church without the idea of being empowered to serve others is a worldview that is me-focused, consumer-dominant. It celebrates achievement, a better version of yourself, a happier you, a healthier you, a thinner you, a prettier you, a more fulfilled you, all the while grossly neglecting the message of the cross of Christ. That message is of self-sacrifice. In a time when the cross of Jesus Christ is disappearing from the church, also lost is Calvary's position as where we come to die. The farther we get from the cross of Calvary, my dear friend, the easier it is to forget it is a place where we come to die. Once we die to ourselves through the blood of the redeeming Lamb, we truly become an image, a reflection of God Himself, equipped to become agents of redemptive change. This week is the most joyous celebration of the year, the great, wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. It's a Moedim, a set time of celebration when God asks you and me to lay aside our day-to-day tasks to enter into His presence. As you draw closer to the Almighty God, I believe His compassionate character will have greater influence, greater impact on you every day. I want to draw your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. The stranger, the orphan, and the widow that are in your city shall come and eat and be satisfied. The stranger, the orphan, and the widow shall come and eat and be satisfied. Sometimes we go too quickly. The stranger, who's that? The orphan, who's that? The widow shall come and eat and be satisfied. That's our assignment. If you and I obey, then as a good and generous, merciful, loving, benevolent God promises that He will bless you in all the work of your hands. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, has concluded, and a new year has begun on God's celestial calendar, overflowing with blessings for your home, for your family, for your finances, and everything you set your hands to. It can happen for you because God responds in His miracle-working power when we simply obey. Strangers, orphans, widows. S-O-W. Strangers, orphans, widows. To bless the stranger, to bless the orphan, to bless the widow, as God commands us sovereignly in His Word during this specific tabernacle season, in the African nation of South Sudan, where today more than 275,000 people are in a hunger crisis. Now, a few months ago, many of you helped us rush emergency relief to tens upon tens of thousands in South Sudan. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart on their behalf for your generosity. But the crisis is far, far from over. This right now is the season of harvest for many. But in South Sudan, the fields are barren. The situation is more than dire. It's really indescribable to folks that live as you and I do. But one thing is not. It is not hopeless. Your tabernacle's offering, commanded by God, of just $50 can help feed a desperate mother, her hungry children. A commanded SOW, Strangers, Orphans, and Widows, tabernacle offering of only $100 can help feed two frantic mothers and their families. Now, there's a toll-free number. It's right there on your screen. A ministry friend is waiting, anticipating, praying for your call. You'll not only fulfill God's command to not come before Him empty-handed, but you'll also help precious lives half a world away. You can text to sow your SOW, Strangers, Orphans, and Widows seed right now, or you can simply log on, rodparsley.com. $50, $100, whatever God speaks to your heart. But now don't delay. The Feast of Tabernacles ends Sunday, October 20th. Now stay where you are. In just a moment, I'm going to reveal how the Holy Providence of God Almighty is ready to release blessing upon you as you bless others.
Follow God's command to come together in unity and celebrate the Great Feast of Tabernacles. The deadline this year to sow your tabernacle seed is Sunday, October 20th. With your obedient tabernacle seed of $100 or more, we'll rush you this beautiful full-color print of the tabernacle in the wilderness. You'll be moved at the artist's vibrant depiction of the Holy of Holies. Suitable for framing, it's the perfect complement to Rod Parsley's new two-disc set, God's Timeless Treasure, Tabernacles. As you appear before God with a gift in your hand, you're also fulfilling the second command to remember the stranger, orphan, and the widow. At this moment in South Sudan, more than 275,000 young mothers are on a desperate search for their family's next meal. A weak bowl of soup made from twigs and leaves isn't enough to sustain her children for much longer. Your tabernacle seed of $50 will help Bridge of Hope feed a starving mother and her children. $100 will help feed two mothers and their children in the midst of a severe famine in South Sudan. With your very generous tabernacle seed of $1,000 to honor God, we'll bless you with this beautiful and spiritually significant silver-plated shofar direct from Israel. Call, write, or go online with your tabernacle seed and remember the stranger, orphan, and the widow. God's promise is to remember you with the five blessings of tabernacles. Don't wait. Sow your tabernacle seed by Sunday, October 20th.
Well, I bless the Lord, and I'm believing that you're embracing the eternal truth. It's the key to a culture-changing, world-shaking revival. That's our promise. It's God's central character. Well, what's that? His love. You and I, we're called to love as He loves. the most offensive, I think, thing a person could do before the Lord God would be to turn an indifferent eye, to close our ears to those who are crying out in the most desperate need. In fact, God rewards those who refuse to do that. Psalm 41, in your Bible and mine, says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him. The Lord will keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth." God will deliver him out of the will of his enemies. God will strengthen him on his bed of illness. God will sustain him. Oh, that just makes me want to get up and run. These blessings that I've just shared with you are reserved for a very special group of people. Those who embrace God's heart, his love, his compassion. His character is displayed when you and I feed the hungry, when we comfort the widow who is abandoned and alone, when we embrace to our chest the fatherless. True, complete, undefiled worship is displaying God's love. It's drying the tears of a father struggling with the death of his child. It's the power displayed with an outstretched hand, with something in it to a family who's lost everything. It's comforting. Oh, God, help us to do it. A single mother. It's not a good idea. It's our God calling. It's our duty to our Savior to help the least of these and to place the jewel of a soul in the crown of our Savior so that the Lamb of God slain may receive the reward of all of his suffering. We're challenged with three specific commands in Micah. Again, one of my favorite prophets, chapter 6, verse 8. Let me read it to you. What does the Lord require of you? What a staggering question. So let me just say it to you as Micah prophesied it. What does the Lord require of you? Then he answers his own question in the very same verse. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, I pray that the words of Micah ring true within your heart as they do mine. I pray that they're displayed in your actions, not someday, but today. Are you prepared to do justly? Are you ready to love mercy? Are you ready to walk humbly? You know what that means? To prefer another before yourself. Well, if you do, God is overwhelmingly generous and giving and promises five blessings unique to this Feast of Tabernacles season to release into your life. Number one, a blessing on your substance. If your need is financial, celebrate this feast. Second, a blessing on your essentials. Now, if your need is related to the day-to-day details of life, if that's where you've got a need, celebrate this feast. Number three, a blessing of unspeakable joy. If you're struggling in your mind, if you're struggling in your emotions, if your spirit is heavy, celebrate this feast. Number four, a blessing of God's mighty healing power. If you're in need of healing today, celebrate this feast. Finally, number five, whatever your soul desires. God wants to grant you the desires of your heart. So celebrate this feast. The key to all of these blessings, Deuteronomy 16, 16. During this feast of tabernacles, do not come before the Lord empty-handed. Now, you only have a few days before this feast comes to a close. It's a window. It's open, then it's closed. Call now. Get your tabernacles offering of $50 or $100 or a very, very, very special $1,000 tabernacles offering for those of you that God speaks to in that regard. I prepared brand new ministry resources just for you. But the key to the blessing is obedience alone. So call now or log on at rodparsley.com. Remember now to bless the Lord during this commanded feast season and prepare your life to receive a mighty fivefold tabernacles blessing in your life right now.
As you celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles as God commands, He promises to release the five blessings of tabernacles to you: shelter and financial health, the essentials of life, joy in your spirit and emotions, healing, and whatever your heart desires. With your generous tabernacle seed of $100 or more, we'll rush to your home this beautiful full-color print of the Tabernacle in the Wilderness and Rod Parsley's new two-disc set, God's Timeless Treasure, Tabernacles. Many mark this yearly feast with a very special seed of $1,000 or more. We'll commemorate your obedience to God's command with this beautiful silver-plated shofar, direct from Israel. Call, write, or log on with your commanded tabernacle seed of $50, $100, $1,000, or more. Don't delay. This feast ends Sunday, October 20th.
Well, in what God has called this holiest of holy seasons on His celestial calendar, I'm praying that you will indeed turn your heart toward God. He wants to dwell, to tabernacle with you today. There's so much more that I want to enrich your walk with the Lord with, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to challenge you. And I'll be sharing more tomorrow on your brand new breakthrough and on all of my social media outlets as well. So if you're not following me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, make sure you do. And I'll see you next time, right here, where I've been for over 30 years, on your breakthrough.